Okay, good evening, everyone. It's a pleasure to be with you again. And as you can see on your screen, I wrote a title. It's The Coming of the Lord and Our Present Activity. And to start with, I would like to read a short portion of scriptures in the book of Haggai in chapter 2 from verse 6. For thus says Jehovah of hosts, yet once, it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth, and the sea, and the dry land. And I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations will come. And I will fill this house with glory, says Jehovah of hosts. In the context of Haggai, we know that the people came back to the land. There was a decree for that. And the first thing they did when they came back to Jerusalem was to set the foundation of the altar. And then they wanted to build a temple. They started some repair, you know, some cleanup and things to set things ready for building. And then the work pretty much stopped. And it is at that point that after many years, the ministry of Haggai came and God called them to build a temple. We can look at the detail, which we will not do tonight, but by different means, he puts before them to build a temple. In chapter 2, we have, in another prophecy of Haggai, the reason why the temple had to be built. And one of the most important reasons was because the Messiah was to come. This is what we have here. And the desire of all nations shall come. So it really is the coming of the Messiah. The temple will be full of glory because of that. It's not the fact that Herod, you know, had improved the temple a lot, that the temple would be glorious. It's because the glorious person of the Son of God would be there. This is the very thing that would bring glory to the temple. So we see in the book of Haggai that they were called to build a temple because the Messiah was to come and come visit his temple. The way thing has been very long after the temple was finished. We know that from Haggai to the coming of the Messiah, there's over 500 years. And during these 500 years, we know not from scriptures, the book of Malachi is like 400 years before the Lord's coming. We see already some coldness and a kind of departure from the heart toward God. But we know that after that, they had a lot of trouble from history. We need to read history books for that, with the Maccabeans and stuff like that, the wars that they had to go through. So these were not easy times, and certainly not times where one would be easily encouraged to go on faithfully for God. Yet the promise was there that the Lord would come, the Messiah would come. Unfortunately, when he came and he visited them, the Lord Jesus says it himself, they did not know the day of their visitation. And those who should have received him did not receive him. They opposed him. But a remnant believed in him. And because of the rejection of the Lord Jesus from his people, we know that now there is this gospel that's preached all around the world for the salvation of whosoever believes. And we form a new temple to the Lord by the Spirit of God. The temple exists nowadays, not the temple in Jerusalem, but a spiritual temple. We are a temple to God by the Holy Spirit, we read in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 22. But we can ask ourselves the same question. Well, this question, are we ready to for the coming of the Lord Jesus? As a temple was needed in the Old Testament, today a spiritual temple is there, and we too have the promise of the Lord's coming. So are we ready? Are we waiting for the Lord, actively waiting for him? It is good to remind us that the Lord has given to his body, the church, the assembly, everything that is necessary for its edification until he comes. We read that in Ephesians chapter 4. He gave for gospel work, he gave for teaching, he gave for a shepherd, for the care of the flock. He gave all these gifts through men for the edification of his body, for the edification of the house of God. So it has been given to each one according each to a different measure. And if every member of the body of Christ is at its place and makes use of its gift, it's contributing to the edification of the assembly, of the house of God, of the body of Christ. For this world, we know what's coming for this world. More tyranny with the beast system that will come up, more disruptions, more confusions. We know that there will be an energy of error that will come on those who will have rejected the truth. So we know these things are coming. But for us, we are not waiting for these things. We are waiting for our salvation. We are not called to wrath, but to the obtaining of the salvation. So we wait for the coming of the Lord Jesus. But as we wait for him, what does that mean for us that we are waiting for the Lord Jesus? Would that influence me to know when he would come? What would I do if I knew when he would come? And this is where I would like to go with this meditation. I would like to bring us an active reflection of what would I do if I knew when the Lord would come. Of course, we don't know when the Lord will come. But I would like us to imagine for a moment that, let's say, we know it's this year. This year is the year the Lord Jesus is coming. Again, I'm saying for imagination, for reflection purposes. Don't come to me next year to tell me, oh, brother, you said the Lord will come and he's not... What's the... I'm not saying he's coming this year. I'm just telling you, let's imagine for a moment. You know for sure. You're 100% sure you had a revelation. I don't... Whatever the means by which you would know it, you know it's this year. Would it change something in your life? What would you do? It's interesting to think of this question in that way because it really provokes our thoughts. It really makes us think of what truly is important and what is not important. So for a moment, let us imagine. As you can see, I'm not saying the year number in which we are right now. You know in which year we are, because the same message would be good next year if we're still there. Hopefully we're not still there because we wait for the Lord's return now, today. But for a moment, let's imagine we know for sure it is this year. If you're one of those person who thinks the Lord would come on springtime, there's not much time left for you. If you're one of those person who thinks he would come on summertime, well, you have a bit more time. If you think he's coming on autumn, well, you have more time. But let's imagine for a moment he comes this year. I would like to suggest three things. Three things that would be good for us to consider if the Lord was coming this year. The first one might be a shocker for some. Might be like a new revelation or something very disruptive. And it is as follow. It's to watch. Okay, I got you. It's not as disruptive. We know that scripture is saying a lot that we have to watch. Watch and pray. We read this verse in Mark, in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 13, verse 35 and 37. The Lord Jesus says, "Watch therefore, for ye do not know when the master of the house comes, evening, or midnight, or cockcrow, or morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. But what I say to you, I say to all, watch." We read also in Matthew chapter 24, verse 24, "Watch therefore, for ye know not in what hour your Lord comes. Take heed, watch and pray, for ye do not know when the time is." Mark 13, verse 33. And Luke 21, verse 36 says, "Watch therefore, praying at every season," or praying every time, at all moment. So we have all these expressions, the Lord said. Of course, each of these verses have their context, but we can take the encouragement of the Lord for us too, to watch. To watch, because he is coming. We know also that the Apostle Peter is encouraging us, especially in times of deterioration and ruins, to watch for the Lord's coming. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7, we read, "But the end of all things is drawn nigh. Be sober, therefore, and be watchful unto prayers." It was true 2,000 years ago. It's still very, very much true for us today. But we might ask the question, okay, watching, watch and pray, what does that mean? Watching for what, in fact? For what should I watch? Well, the first thing we should watch for is to have communion with the Lord Jesus. It's the first and most important thing. If the Lord is coming this year, okay, we are in our imagination, He's coming this year, what's the most important thing? What's the thing that will bring the most joy to me and to Him as I'm waiting for Him? This very first thing, to have fellowship with Him. You know, if the Lord is coming tomorrow morning or tonight, there's not much time for big projects. There's time for us to have fellowship with us. It will be our blessed portion forevermore to dive deep in this relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ forevermore. We can enjoy that right now. We're not obliged to wait for that day. We can have it right now. And it will bring us joy. And joy to the Lord. The Lord said concerning Mary in Luke chapter 10, verse 42, "But there is need of one thing, and Mary has chosen the good part, the which shall not be taken from her." We can do many things as we wait for the Lord's return. We can do many good things to all men, to those who are in the assembly, in the church of the Lord, who are believers. We can do many good things to serve the Lord. All these things are good. But there's one thing that we will never lose, that the Lord is marking as super important, the best part for us, and at His highs for Him too, is to sit at His feet and to have fellowship with Him. When we look at the Lord Jesus in the Psalms, like Psalms 45, verse 2, we read this beautiful expression, "Thou art fairer than the sons of men." In the Song of Songs, chapter 5, verse 10, we read also this beautiful expression, "My beloved is white and ruddy, the chiefest among 10,000. There's nothing else that will bring satisfaction to our souls, that will bring refreshment, that will do us good, as to be in the presence of this one who's the chiefest among 10,000. We have this privilege to gaze on Him today and be transformed and enjoy His person. We can look on this earth at men, at things, at things we would like to achieve or possess or whatever, goals, projects. We can look at all these things. We can read the book of Solomon, you know, concerning his experiences. We'll come to one conclusion compared to this one who's the chiefest among 10,000. The conclusion is everything else is vanity. There's nothing there for me. Satisfaction, true enjoyment is found in the person of the Lord Jesus, the one who is fairer than the sons of men. Altogether added up, altogether, there's none that's like Him, not even near. And unbelievably, we forget about that. We'll go to bed tonight and tomorrow we'll wake up and we'll have forgotten about that. If we want to have pleasure and joy in our souls, independently of the circumstances in which I can go through or people I love can go through, if I want to find this peace and rest and satisfaction and grow in the knowledge and the grace of the Lord Jesus, it will be at going in at his feet and be occupied of this one who's the chiefest among 10,000. The only one that is worth following. The only one that is worth listening to. The only one that is worth serving and giving it all. It is Him. the Lord Jesus Christ. So the first thing we should watch as we wait for the return of the Lord Jesus is to have fellowship with Him. And to realize that this fellowship, yes, with the Father, it's with the Son, and it's with the Holy Spirit, as we read in different verses of the scriptures, we have to realize that this fellowship is also excluding things. It's excluding, for example, idolatry. We have to remove that from our lives. Idolatry is putting something and appreciating and liking something and devoting ourselves to something that is not the Lord Jesus. Having our admiration for something in this world, someone, whatever. All these things should go in the dark, in the gray, and have only the Lord Jesus. We read in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 20, that our communion has to be with the Lord Jesus. Paul is saying that he doesn't want us to have communion, fellowship with demons. We know the context, it's the table of the Lord and everything, but the principle is there. The principle is there. This fellowship we have with the Lord, it's excluding idolatry. It's excluding also darkness. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14, we read, "What fellowship is there between light and darkness? There's none, and we're sons of light." So we have to realize these things. If we want to truly enjoy the person of Lord Jesus and His beauties, well, there are things also we have to get away from. We have things we have to get away from, to be found in pure light, as John is saying in his first letter, chapter 1. We walk with the God of light in the light of God, and there we enjoy fellowship with the Father and with the Son by the Spirit of God. So this fellowship is implying sanctification, is to be separated unto Him, unto the Lord Jesus. We read in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15 and 16, "But as He who has called you is holy, be ye also holy in all your conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy." So this blessed fellowship we can have, and we have to watch to have, is also a reminder that if we want to enjoy this fellowship, we have to get away from these other things, which are not compatible with this fellowship. So we can watch for fellowship. It's the most important point. I took some time for it. It's important. Another point is we have to be watchful to our activities. It's important that if we expect the Lord's return, in our imagination, let's say this year, it has to open our eyes to our activities, what I'm doing. Do I want to have a peaceful life? Well, it will start at the feet of the Lord. And then also, we have to remove these things which are only an excitation for the flesh in our lives. You know, the world is offering many, many things to distract us, to satisfy the natural man in us. If we find our satisfaction in these things, we will always feel restless and not at peace. Because again, it's only at the feet of the Lord Jesus that we will find rest and peace and true satisfaction. He is the one who leads us in green pastures. He's the one who leads us through refreshing brooks of water, calm brooks where we can drink and be refreshed in our souls. If we want to have an abundant life with the Lord Jesus, well, we have to remove from our life that which is using our time uselessly. We have to put our time in those things which are worth it in view of eternity. So it's a choice we have to make every day. It will not happen one morning we get up out of the bed and boom, we will want to do it. It's a decision we have to do every day. We want to sanctify ourselves. We want to have our time for the things of our Lord Jesus. Of course, there are many responsibilities in this life. Of course, we know all this. But first off, be occupied of the things which are above. Be occupied of the Lord Jesus. And everything else will find in its rightful, proper place. And the Lord will help us to go forward. We have to watch also to what we occupy with. It's good to have time of rest. Human bodies like that. We work, then we need rest. And if we work intellectually, we need intellectual rest at some point. And we have good times with family and different activities we can have. All that is good, but we have to be careful. When we give ourselves rest, which is good, we have to be careful that this rest will not dull our spiritual disposition. We have to be careful that when we have been refreshed by different activities, we are not spiritually weaker than we were before. It's absolutely possible to find times of rest and refreshment with families and different activities and keeping it up, spiritually speaking. That these times of rest might be taken with the Lord Jesus, be done in His name, so to speak, and enjoying the blessed things and good things that our God is giving us down below. But if our, you know, activities and occupation are not very good and they are making us dull spiritually and they are weakening us spiritually, these are not good activities. We should watch for that. We should watch that everything we do makes us stronger in the Lord Jesus. I'm not saying we should read verse all the time and memorize the Bible all the time. You understand what I mean? If we should not put in our head things which are not spiritually good and for good profit for us. We should not see, look, watch, do things, speak things that are detrimental to our spiritual growth. This is the point. This is the thing we should watch. We should watch also not to get caught up with life. What I mean by that is a bit like what the Lord said in different parables, that we can be busy with many things and our hearts be heavy and laden because of difficulties in this life. We have to be careful that we do not let the circumstances and difficulties that might come along in our lives get over us. We have to be watchful for that, to bring everything at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ, like we read in Philippians chapter 4. And He will give us peace, a peace that we do not understand, a peace that is from above, a peace that is from God, so that our hearts will be kept where? In Christ Jesus. Our hearts will be kept occupied with the Lord Jesus. So this is why we have to pray all the time. Pray at every season, we read in Luke chapter 21, verse 36. Pray unceasingly. In everything, give thanks, we read in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17 and 18. Another thing we have to watch for those who have families, we have to watch our home. Yes, our home. It's another thing we have to be very watchful. If the Lord is coming this year in our imagination again, what do I let in my house? What do I allow in my house? Am I giving to my children or to anyone who is in my house? You know, the principle of the house. It might be not be children, it might be other people. Am I allowing them things that I'm not allowing myself to have? Because I know for myself it's not good for me, but for the others, I mean, you know, they are kids, you know, yeah. Oh, you know, it's not really my family. It's okay. Am I doing that? It would be a great detriment for them and a great detriment for me. Am I allowing things that I should not allow in my house? Sometimes we can hear the argument, oh, you know, in the time we live, it's how things are done now. Or it's too hard for these poor children. You know, there's the pressure from outside and everything. We have to be careful with these reasonings. The world does everything he can to enter our families, to enter our hearts. And he will bring destruction, not joy, not pleasure, not edification. He will bring destruction. So if we are not careful and we let these things come in, it won't be for our good, and it won't be for the good of those who are in our house. So we have to be careful to not put in the hands of our children, for example, this world and its lusts. We have to, and I'm saying it very politely here. Nowadays, everyone has one of these devices that goes in the pocket. It's a door. It can be the worst thing ever for you. And even you, if as an adult, if you're struggling with this, you have no control with that. Do you imagine that the children can have control better than you on that? No, no, no. It's not working. We have to be very careful. The devil is very wise. The devil is clever. He knows what he's doing. And he knows the flesh. He knows how to appeal to the flesh. And it's true for the believer because we're still in this. We still have this old man. We do not have our glorified bodies yet. So if saying no, I don't want that in my house. I'm waiting for the Lord's coming. It might be few days, it might be few months, it might be years, but it's no, because I want to live for the Lord. It might bring difficulties. It might bring struggles, but it's better to have these struggles. It's better to have these struggles with the Lord than letting that struggle go and bringing a floodgate of other difficulties and problems, not with the Lord. And there's a big difference between the both. It's better to have struggle with that, of not allowing things in the house, than letting them go in and have bigger problem down the road. Sometimes we think, I want peace, I don't want these problems, and we'd let things go. Well, I tell you, we know where it goes. It goes with more problem and more difficulties. So we have to watch. We have to watch to what we let come in our hearts. Another thing we can do. So we have to watch. If the Lord comes this year in our imagination, another point I would like to suggest is to plan and execute. What do I mean by that, plan and execute? Planning my personal projects? Planning things I want to do and execute them? No, 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 no. Not those things. But planning and executing in the Lord. We read this verse in Luke chapter 19, verse 13. And having called his own 10 bondmen, he gave to them 10 minas and said to them, trade while I am coming. So in this parable, the Lord Jesus is showing that he wants us to be active, to trade, to plan and execute, if you allow me this expression I choose, while he is coming. Maybe there are things in your heart that it makes many years you put to later. Oh, I would like to do this, but later. I do not feel it's the time now. Maybe there are many things in your life, I don't know. Maybe there are things you know the Lord has put on your heart to do and you said, not now, it's not the time. Well, if the Lord is coming this year, it's the last year you have to do it. Do you understand? Planning and executing. That which the Lord would have put on your heart or that thing you would like to do for the Lord, it's time to do it now. That's the meaning I'm putting here with plan and execute. Next year, it will be too late in our imagination. Next year, it will be too late. You know, when we preach the gospel, and we rightfully say so, we say and preach clearly that today, now is the time for salvation. Now is the time for salvation. But for the believer, it's the same thing. Today, now is the time to serve. It's the time now. Tomorrow does not belong to us. We don't know about tomorrow. We don't know about next year. It's now. So we have to keep that in mind. If the Lord is coming this year, boy, there's this thing I really wished I would have done for the Lord Jesus. I go to him. I go to him in prayer and I plan. And I see if he opens the door. And if he opens the door and I know it, I do it. I execute that. Independence of the Lord. I'm saying these things in the spirit of what James has written, chapter 4, verse 15. Instead of you saying, if the Lord should so will, and we should live, we will also do this and that. And it truly is the mindset in which I'm saying these things. It's not to be busybodies and going here and there and doing everything. It's not the idea here. The idea truly is to go before the Lord and put these projects, this desire we have in his service before him, and go to him to have the strength to do it. We have many encouragement if we want to go forward in the Lord's service. We see in scriptures that we have the promise of the presence of the Lord, especially in gospel work. The Lord Jesus said in Matthew 28, verse 20, I am with you all the days until the completion of the age. The Lord is with us. We read in the book of Acts, in the gospel again, in the context of the gospel, that he said to Paul the apostle, because I am with thee. Speak, do not fear, because I am with thee. We read also of Joshua in the Old Testament, chapter 1, verse 9. For Jehovah thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. And we read also in Haggai, chapter 2, verse 4 and 5. For I am with you, saith Jehovah of hosts, the word that I covenanted with you when ye came out of Egypt, and my spirit remain among you. So we have the word, we have the spirit of God. More than that, he is with us. So when we realize that we are not alone in service for the Lord, it gives us strength and encourages us. So with this strength, with this courage, knowing that it's not from us but from him, we plan and we execute. It might be the last year. Well, in our imagination, it's the last year. It's the last year. There's no next year after it's finished. It's time to go with him. We have a great encouragement in this with the Apostle Paul. We won't go over the Apostle Paul in the New Testament. There's too much. But his life is a true example of a man who did many great things. There were difficulties. There were setbacks. There were tears. We know all these things. But he planned and executed. He was looking at the Lord. He was looking at his coming. He was working as to win the race. This is what he was doing. And among all these things, this is the encouragement I want to leave to each of us. He wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 10, I have labored more abundantly than they all, but not I, but the grace of God which was with me. With me. The grace of God which was with me. So again, Paul, maybe he planned, maybe he executed. Of course, he was walking in dependence of the Lord, but he went on and he knew that whatever good that happened in his service, it was not he, but the grace of God that was with him. So it's the same for us. If we are a ready vessel in his hand, as we read in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 11, 21, well, he will use us to do many good things. So it's another point. It's no more the time to sleep. It's time to watch. Even if we are tired, it's not the time to sleep. We are near the Lord's return. It's not the time to slumber and to stop. No, it's time to rise up, put our back straight, encourage one another by the Spirit of God through the scriptures, and be awakened and go on, because he comes. The Lord comes. So in all these things, again, we have to act in dependence and not be hyperactive. We read in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 6, that we should not sleep, but that we should watch and be sober. And this is this aspect of soberness that has to characterize us even in activity. So it's not to be in an activity that is not thought, you know, not there is no reflection behind it, but it truly is an activity in soberness, in dependence of the Lord, waiting for him, but not just waiting like, oh, well, if one morning it will, something will happen, I will do it. No, it's to be active in this planning and in this desire to serve him. When our heart is there in fellowship with him, the one who is fairer than 10,000, you know, our heart is full of joy, and we will have sanctified ideas, independence of him. He will lead us in the way, and we will see his good end before us. He will bless these things. We have an encouragement to trade as the Lord Jesus is coming, as we wait for him. So again, we have to consider the fact that tomorrow might not be there. tomorrow does not exist. It's today. So we have, when we plan, we have to realize that, and we have to commit our projects before the Lord, spiritual projects. Of course, there are the things of life we have to take care of. Of course. But to have a heart in the service of the Lord, especially if He has put something on our heart. A third point I would like to suggest. So we have watch. We have plan and execute. As we know in our imagination again, that the Lord is coming this year. We have to watch, plan and execute. The third thing I would like to submit as a reflection, a personal reflection, is to be ready, of course, to be ready. What do I mean by that? We'll read a verse first. We read in Matthew 24, verse 44. Wherefore ye also, be ye ready, for in that hour that ye think not, the Son of Man comes. There's a context to that verse. There's a context. I don't want to go in the context. I just want to take the verse and put it before us. We can apply it to us. It's good for us to apply it to us. For in that hour that ye think not, the Son of Man comes. Of course, we read in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 that we will not be surprised by the coming of the Lord as if He comes like a thief in the night, because we are not of those who are of the night. We are children of God. We are children of light. We know the times and the seasons. Well, I hope it's awakening us. We should know the times of the seasons. It's not my subject, but anyway. But we will not be surprised. Yet, no one knows the day and the hour. No one knows. And as we wait for Him, we expectantly wait for Him, we have to be active and we have to be ready. That's the thing. There should be a sense of urgency, so to speak. A sense of urgency that should stay with us because the Lord comes. He comes. I should not put my 2 feet on, I don't know the word of that thing in English. You have a recliner and a nice thing you put your feet on. It's elevated and you're comfortable, you know. It's not the time to relax. It's the time to go onward with the Lord Jesus. There should be this sense of urgency in us. I would like to give an illustration. When we want to travel, we use a passport. And we have, if we want to leave the country, we have to ask a passport from our country to show that we are citizen of that country so that we can go out and be received in the other country, hopefully, and then come back and be received back in our home. Hopefully too. Usually it's no problem. So I would say be ready. Another expression I would use is have your passport ready. Have your passport ready. If we have children, we know in our country here in Canada, the parents have the responsibility to fill up the forms for their children because their children do not have the legal age to have a passport by asking themselves. So the parents are responsible. And I would like to take that as a picture for parents when I'm saying be ready. Speak of the Lord to your children. Not once in a week, every day. Read together the Bible. Pray together. Seize every occasion to communicate the things of God to your children. This is what God has asked to His people in the Old Testament. In Deuteronomy, for example, chapter 11, verse 18 to 21, there is this instruction that whether you wake up in the morning, you eat at the table, you walk, you sleep, whatever, speak these things. And it truly is what we should do. We cannot give a passport to our children, but we certainly can fill up the papers and get the paperwork ready. We can do the paperwork. And this is what God is asking us. Do the paperwork. The paperwork is that. Communicating the things of God to our children. That's the thing. That's the paperwork. We can help other people also with their paperwork for their passports, you know, helping them filling the form and stuff like that. The paperwork. That's the gospel here. Help the others with the paperwork to have this passport, this heavenly passport. Yes, because we are heavenly people. So that's the first thing I would like to suggest in this example of being ready. We have also to get our own passport in order. I mean, when we're saved, our passports never expire. In Canada, after 10 years, you have to get another one. The passport the Lord gives are never, never expiring. Never. But when we do not travel, what do we do with our passports usually? Well, they are sleeping in a drawer somewhere or in the back of a wardrobe, you know, and dust is going on it. No. The believer should never leave the passport in the drawer at home or in the wardrobe. Never. Should always have his passport with him, ready to go. So if our passport, spiritually speaking, the reminder of our heavenly citizenship is taking dust, it's time to undust it. It's time to take it, to shake it a bit. Look at the picture. Oof. Oof. I was young. I got old. Oof. Then put it in your pocket. When I was traveling many years ago, in my first experiences, I was always having my passport on me. Wherever I went in the country, I was stressed like that. Sometimes I'm still doing that, but not all the time. Now I understood that once you're in the country of destination, you can leave it where your luggage is in safe, as a safe place. Then you can walk around. It's fine. It's okay. But as a believer, we should have it always on us. So to have our passport in hand, this passport, now I come to this application of this illustration I'm giving. This passport must be a reminder, continual, permanent reminder for us that we are citizens of heaven. Our commonwealth has its existence in the heavens. That's the Darby translation. For our citizenship is in heaven. That's the more modern way to write it. Our citizenship is in heaven, and this should be a reminder, first of all, for our behavior, how we behave. In our imagination again, the Lord is coming this year. I dust off my passport, if it was taking dust. I hope mine is not taking too much dust. It has to be a reminder to have it on me and remind myself, oh, I'm a citizen of heaven. My behavior. We read, for example, in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 3, but fornication and all uncleanness or unbridled lust, let it not be even named among you, as it becomes saints. There are things that we should not speak, period. There are things we should not say, period. We are citizens of heaven. Our thoughts, for example, Romans chapter 12, verse 3 says, for I say, through the grace which has been given to me, to everyone that is among you, not to have high thoughts above what he should think, but to think so as to be wise, as God has dealt to each a measure of faith. It's an example here. Our thoughts, to be humble in our spirit. Our thoughts, not to entertain thoughts that are not for our profit, spiritually speaking, but to be occupied, as we read in Philippians chapter 4, I think it's 7 and 8 and 9, these verses, of everything that is good, just, pure, worthy of praise, and all these good things. These are the things that should occupy our thoughts. We are citizens of heaven. We are citizens of heaven. Our actions. Romans chapter 16, verse 2 says, that ye may receive her in the Lord worthily of saints, that ye may assist her. So we see helping one another. Be kind with one another as believers. We want to encourage one another as the Lord is coming, and be of help to one another as the Lord is coming, to stir up our faith and encourage one another. Not to say things or do things that would discourage one another, but we want to, yeah, we need that. We need to encourage ourselves in the Lord Jesus. So our actions also, we can look at negative things, you know, like Romans chapter 13, verse 11 to 14. We read, for example, let us cast away therefore the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of life. Let us walk becomingly as in the day. And also put on the Lord Jesus Christ and do not take forethought for the flesh to fulfill its lust. So it should be a reminder for our behavior, this passport, this heavenly citizenship. It should be a reminder for the gospel message. Again, I said it in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20, we read, "We are ambassadors, therefore, for Christ. God, as it were, beseeching by us, we entreat for Christ. Be reconciled with God." So when the Lord gives us an occasion to speak of the Lord Jesus, to have these ready words on our lips to speak of Him. He who is fairer than any man, all the sons of man. He who is chiefest among 10,000. If we are at the feet of the Lord Jesus every day, we have this fellowship with Him, our heart will more gladly and more naturally, despite the fact that the flesh doesn't want these things, despite our fears or whatever that is from natural men, our hearts will be much more readily going forward to speak, open our lips, to give testimony to our blessed Lord Jesus Christ. So we can speak of the Lord Jesus to those around us, and all our life, again, our behavior, our walk, our demeanor, all we do, all our lives is a communication of the person of Christ to those around us. And this is important. Paul is saying this in a colorful way in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14 and 16, when he says, "But thanks be to God who always lead us in triumph in the Christ and makes manifest the author of his knowledge through us in every place, for we are a sweet odor of Christ to God, in the saved and in those that perish, to the one another from death unto death, but to the others another from life unto life. And who is sufficient for these things?" So even for fellow believers, when we walk in the light, when we share the message of the gospel, this is also a sweet odor for one another, an encouragement in the Lord. It's a reminder also not to make ourselves comfortable down here. "For we have not here an abiding city, but we seek the coming one." Hebrews chapter 13, verse 14. It's not here our place. It's with the Lord Jesus. There's a meditation that could be done. We could go deeper on this subject, but just this reminder. It's not here that we live. We are citizens of heaven. We can be called up at any moment. Any moment. That's why we want our passports ready. And it's a reminder not to live for ourselves and be at our own service, so to speak. Paul said it in a very positive way in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. "I am crucified with Christ, and no longer live I, but Christ lives in me. But in that I now live in flesh, I live by faith, the faith of the Son of God who has loved me and given himself for me." So we do not see these things. We do not see the gates of glory yet. We have this passport, the Spirit, which is in us, you know. This is the seal that is in us. Well, we live by faith. We do not see yet, but this faith by which we walk is truly pleasing to God. And this is something which really was a source of joy to me and discouragement at the same time, but more joy than discouragement, when I understood that. You know, sometimes we pray for, I don't know, a sign or whatever, that the Lord would intervene, like, miraculously, whatever, you know, we would like to see more. But then you understand, when I walk by faith and I see nothing, it truly pleases the Lord when I trust Him and still go on. It pleases Him, big, big time. We walk by faith. And this is what Paul was saying here. So let us go on. Let us go on with the Lord. It pleases Him, and He gives always the encouragement we need. So we have to be ready. The Lord comes. And we desire that the Lord Jesus finds us in a place that will bring Him joy when He finds us to come take us home. I do not want, and I do not want for you, to be found by the Lord somewhere where we will be ashamed when he will call us. We want to be found in a place where we will rejoice big time when we will hear the sound of the shout, of the assembling shout. Yes, this is what we want. We want to be found there. The Lord Jesus said in Matthew 24, verse 46, "Blessed is that bondman whom his Lord on coming shall find doing thus, being rightly occupied, waiting for him, working for him." There's great joy for that man and great joy for the heart of our Lord Jesus Christ. It will be our joy and his joy. So, when does the Lord come? I have no clue when. We imagined it's this year in this reflection. We don't know. But the Lord Jesus tells us, "Behold, I come quickly, and my reward with me, to render to everyone as his work shall be." The Lord comes, he has a reward. He is excited, if you allow me this language, to give us this reward. He loves us. He wants us to be with him. And we want to be with him. He's coming. And this is what should burn in our heart. We do not know the when, the date, the month, the hour. We don't know. But he tells us, "I come. I come soon. I come quickly." So let us look to that. And in the meanwhile, let us watch. Let us plan and execute, and let us be ready to take this example again, this to have our passport in hand and help the others have their passport ready too. The paperwork, we can give help for that. The Lord gives the passport. It's salvation. It's the Holy Spirit. When we look at this world around us, we see it's not our subject, but we see many, many things going on and terrible things happening. And it seems also it's happening more one after another. We had the crisis the past 2 years and we thought, oh, that's over. Then there's something else. Wars, rumors of wars, earthquakes, name it, great loss of lives, all kinds of things. There were things like that in the past, but there's also many other things that are happening that tell us that the Lord is coming. So these things should just bring our attention to the fact that he is coming, and to reflect, it was my desire to have an active reflection. What if it's this year? So let us be ready. Things are going forward quickly. Things are crumbling down, but they are not just crumbling down. Everything is falling into its place too for the Lord's return. So let us look to him. He is at the door. So as I finish now, it's okay to stop imagining it's this year, but I would like you to keep maybe the reflections you had personally as we heard these verses, these few encouragements. If you came to any personal conclusion, if the Spirit of God used something to touch you in a reflection, keep that part. Stop imagining it's this year, but keep the conclusion that you came to. And with the grace of the Lord, oh, let us go on. Let us go on with him and take time in his presence. So may the Lord encourage each of us. He's coming very soon.